The owners of the tennis tournament said, we're getting into pickleball, and we want you to do a 30-minute highlight show. I said, that's great. What's pickleball? And I went up there, and there were 250 people playing pickleball. Steve Kennedy, Rob Cassidy was just getting started. I met Melissa McCurley, and I said, where have I been? I've been under a rock or something?
Hello, welcome to the future of pickleball. This is the show on the Selkirk TV channel where we talk to the people that are making this sport go. Got a wonderful guest today. I want to introduce you all to Carl Foster. Carl, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, Paul. Looking forward to being with you.
You know, I'll tell you, folks, Carl's got a pretty big history in pickleball. He is the CEO of the World Pickleball Conference. He's the owner of the NPL Boca Picklers Pro Senior Team, and he's also the chairman of the Veterans Pickleball Association. You've been a busy guy, Carl. Tell us a little bit about how you got so deep in the sport.
Well, probably right out of COVID, like a lot of people. Tennis background. I'm still involved in tennis somewhat with the ATP tennis tournament in Delray Beach. But I found pickleball by actually launching a show called Inside Florida Pickleball, following up on my Inside Florida tennis shows and Inside Florida golf. So I was called to do a TV show for the World Pickleball Championships up in Port St. Lucie. And I had never heard of pickleball before, but the owners of the tennis tournament said, we're getting into pickleball and we want you to do a 30-minute highlight show. I said, that's great. What's pickleball? So I went to the fast mode and researched, and I went up there, and there were 250 people playing pickleball. Steve Kennedy, Rob Cassidy was just getting started. I met Melissa McCurley, and I said, where have I been? I've been under a rock or something? Where are all these people coming from? They're playing this sport. So I gravitated to it just like everybody else. And when I interviewed Melissa and Steve Kennedy and so many people, I said, you guys have any TV shows or any media going on with pickleball? I said, we need it. We need the help. We need to get the word out about pickleball. It's just starting to take off. So the rest is history. So I'm still doing my TV show, but now it's Inside World Pickleball instead of Inside Florida. So I left Florida behind, and I'm, you know, working on the world globe now, the global aspect of pickleball.
Cool. And actually, media is something I want to get to later in the show with you because of your background in media. But the first thing I really want to kind of cover, and really the reason I thought it was important to get you on the show, was to talk about the World Pickleball Expo that'll be in Palm Beach, Florida, I think 27th to the 29th of June. Am I right on that?
That's absolutely right. And you're going to be one of the keynote speakers, so I hope you get the dates right.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about what your approach to these kind of conferences and expos is.
Well, the thing was, we started about 4 years ago, actually. We did our first expo in Palm Beach at the convention center with a partner of mine, George Domenichetti, who I've known for about 25 years. We did the first internet expo way back in the day when the internet was the Wild West, much like pickleball is still right now. So we decided to do that. And that was the first taste of, it was a beta test, see if it was going to work. So we had some courts, and we had about 100 exhibitors at Palm Beach Convention Center, and it went well. So we said, okay, let's focus on this a little bit. So we went to Vegas last year. You were there, obviously, and we decided to add a World Pickleball Conference. My background in conferences, I did the World Leaders Conference for several years, probably about 10 years ago in Palm Beach, where we had Tony Robbins, Drew Brees, we had five-star generals. It was all dealing with servant leadership. It was a two-day conference. I said, I think pickleball's ready. There's enough business leaders, enough business that's growing. I said, I want to try the World Pickleball Conference. So we added that to our Vegas Expo. We had a great response. So we had a sold-out crowd. We had 50-plus people from all over the world and some great names. And I thought it went well. People were doing business. That's what it was all about. It's all about the business-to-business aspect of pickleball. I wanted to focus on, you know, that aspect of it. And So now we're coming up, we're doing our second World Pickleball Conference with a convention, which is bigger and better than ever. We're already sold out of the convention, over 140 exhibitors. We've got over 40 plus speakers right now. I'm still waiting for a few more key people that have said, give me some time to adjust my schedule. I'm planning on being there. So I'll have my agenda ready later this week. I've got this year, I'm doing a little bit different. I've got 6 keynote speakers instead of just all panel sessions. Last year, we only had 1 keynote and 2 keynotes actually last year. And then so this year, I've added some keynotes like yourself to really be able to spend more time. And what I found was we had too many speakers last year. Everybody's got a lot to say. And there's a lot of information to put out there. So I want to give everybody enough time to speak at the conference and also really some meat and potatoes on some of the key topics that, you know, Carl Schmitz is going to do a keynote. You're going to do a keynote. Brandon Mackey with Pickleheads, a nice young up-and-coming company. Tito Machado is going to be doing a keynote. We got Ray Colavacchio, who's with CBS Sports and has done the U.S. Open since day one, really talking about the media and the pickleball aspect of TV on the networks and the future of, you know, the sport on the major networks. So we're going to touch a lot of bases at the conference, the international aspect of it. You know, we've got some key people coming in. We're still waiting for confirmation of the IOC, a representative. If not, they're going to at least send a video or possibly a statement on, you know, we're, the goal is to try to provide a platform at the World Pickleball Conference for the leaders. You know, we're Switzerland. You know, we play Switzerland, so we don't go one side or the other with APP, PPA, World Pickleball Federation, Global Pickleball Federation. We've got alphabet soup out there, as we know. So there's a lot of it, but we're trying to bring the industry together because I think that's the only way, and we've talked about this, it's going to succeed in taking the sport to the next level, which is my passion with the conference and the expo and the TV show. So I'm trying to use those elements and that platform to try to take us to the next level.
Very nice. You know, one of the things that you and I have both been at a lot of the different events that are going on around the country in the order of this, what would be the 3 or 4 primary benefits that you think someone who was interested in being in the business of pickleball, how would they benefit from your event?
Well, I think what we found out last year was people had a chance to actually meet the people that we're doing business with, and also new people from across the globe were actually able to see some of the new technologies, meet some of the new franchise developers. We saw people writing deals, whether it's pickleball insurance deals, software deals, investing in other companies, and building strategic partnerships. So if you're thinking about getting into pickleball business, which many people are jumping in from all different angles, as we know, we've got 80% new exhibitors. Somebody's coming, I never even heard of before. And they're jumping into the pickleball space with all kinds of different unique items, you know, and they're trying to find their slot. So this is the place to be to really get a chance to you know, meet your future partners or see if your product's going to work, if you're going to beta test it. So that's, I think that's the most, nothing like one-on-one. I mean, it's, we can do online conferences. We can, you know, we can go to tournaments and sometimes, but you don't really have the time where you're going to be in a room for a couple days and really get to know everybody in that room. And we have cocktail parties, we have breakouts, some sessions so people can really spend some time, you know, to say, hey, let's set up an appointment. I'll meet you here over the next 3 days and do some business. That's what we hope happens.
Cool. You know, one of the things that I think really is sort of interesting, the event that you do, Pickleball Minds has done event, Racket X has done events, PickleCon has done events. David Johnson is now beginning to do the business of pickleball. What would be the case you would make for what separates your event or similarities? Is it a timing location issue? What do you think people should watch for what you're doing most?
Well, that's a great point. And I've spoken at all these other events and attended all these other events. And I applaud that because they're all in different parts of the country. So, you know, we were in Vegas last year. We're in Palm Beach this year. Next year, we've already signed a deal for San Diego. So we're going to go back out West Coast next year. We may do more than one or two events. But, you know, right now, it's a handful. We want to do them right. But Pickleball Minds, I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, what AJ's doing with the international aspect. I think he's focused more on the international world, which is great. We touch on that, too. And I think everybody's looking for a niche. PickleCon went to their first event. I think PickleCon is closer to what we're doing with a tournament, an expo conference, and now we've also added, which we'll unleash here for the first time, the 2025 Golden Pickle Business Awards, where we're going to honor the top 11, we call them picklepreneurs, but the top 11 people that we feel have the passion for the sport and are doing the most to grow the sport. Not how much money you're making or who's most successful. That's important, obviously, the bottom line. But we want people that really have the passion in their heart and love the sport, that are really, we see so many great people like yourself, just doing things to help grow the sport without necessarily a bottom line return to it. So that's, we're going to add that this year for our first thing. So I think we're, with the tournaments we've added now, we're doing a junior event. We're doing a military charity event, pro celebrity event, with demo courts. So I think we have more of a total package than some of the others that are getting into it in the space. We don't see them as competitors. We don't really go up against each other. David Johnson is one of our keynote speakers with his IAPF, and he's really focusing on the facilities aspect. We have facilities. We'll have Dill Dinkers here. We'll have Pickle Rage here, Pickleball Kingdom. So we touch on all the aspects, but people are looking for their niches, what I think is great, because you can even break out, you know, we're sort of the bigger picture, and we're trying to, you know, to break out things. You know, we have Baptist Health now involved in a big way as a presenting sponsor. They've been with me for a few years, and they're really big into the pickleball space and the recovery and the orthopedic surgery aspect of it, because we know people get hurt and they're getting out there playing pickleball. So they've seen a big value in being involved in the sport of pickleball. So we're seeing a lot of companies that not necessarily pickleball companies that are saying, you know, we need to be involved with this sport.
You know, and I'll tell you, for all of the different events that I get to, like you do as well, I love the fact that these kind of events seem to be the place that people get the opportunity to really get hands-on conversations. It's kind of difficult in Zoom calls and podcasts to really get specifics. I love the fact that so often we're getting senior decision makers, people that come to these events because they really want to meet the other people that are steering the sport and guiding it. On that note, I want to ask, if you're watching this, please take the opportunity, hit the like button, subscribe to this show, and you'll get an opportunity to see people like Carl Foster that are really making a difference in the sport. You know, I've got a couple of things that I want to cover with you that are kind of important issues to me, and I think they're probably important issues to you and anybody else steering the sport. What are you seeing or sensing about how important the global scene is and possibly even global governance of the sport?
Well, that's a key thing. We're hoping to get, you know, some people in the same room and try to get people talking to each other, both sides of the aisle, so to speak, because there are people out there competing for similar space. We talked about it, you know, people are claiming, I've got the road to the Olympics. So, you know, I know this has to be done to get to the Olympics. Other, you know, so I'm getting different conversations from different people. So I said, I could open platform. I'm not, you know, you come to the event. You've got a platform because we want, you know, we want to have questions and answers, which we have. So we want people to ask and really delve into these, you know, and that's one key issue. I mean, the paddle technology is another key issue of what's going on with Carl Schmitz will be there. We got some new people coming in from Adidas and Wilson jumping into the pickleball space. We've had, you know, regulars come to us also from other paddle manufacturers. But I think that's one of the buzz, you know, the hot topics. You know, how do we level the playing field in pickleball from the pros to the amateurs? You know, most of the amateurs, they don't get caught up in a lot of the things that we do on the business side. They just want to go play pickleball. Right. You know, they say, okay, they don't get caught up in, well, is this paddle? You know, I play with people. They didn't know the paddle was not even legal. I said, you're playing with an illegal paddle. What do you mean illegal paddle? I bought it for $300. Well, that's, I said, you can play with it, you know, here, but most people aren't going to be real happy with you, you know, about playing with that paddle. So I think you hit on a key there where the trying to get the people in the same room on some of the topics. I think, you know, the franchise groups, they all have different models. They compete all over for different space. They're looking for, you know, some are profitable already, some are not profitable. Some people are going out of business. You know, some people are jumping right in real fast, and you know, we've had some, you know, not bad eggs, but I'm saying we have some people that just haven't done things right. And they find out it's just not, you don't just turn a key and say pickleball and you'd be an instant millionaire.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've been fortunate to have four of the major CEOs from the different franchise organizations on here. And I love talking to them because they all have different ideas and different strategies that they think can go You know, now that we're really in sort of halfway through year two of the franchise explosion, it's going to be kind of interesting to see if there is a specific winner or loser, or what is the formula. Will you spend much time talking about that kind of stuff at the conference?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have, you know, some of the key topics is going to be exactly that. You know, we have investment groups coming in this year. We have more people that are looking to invest into pickleball. We know there are people coming in that need to raise capital. You know, like certain companies are looking for capital right now to expand their product. So we've been able to reach out to some venture capital companies and companies that are focusing and buying up companies or merging other companies. We're seeing a lot of that going on right now with groups like 35 Capital, some groups here in Florida. They're investing in different things, Diadem, you know, with the Fort and some of the other things. A lot of partnerships are being developed, and a lot of companies are seeing that, you know, well, we could use an influx of capital if we're going to be able to compete. The paddle companies, you know, we work with some of the smaller paddle companies that are trying to raise capital to be able to, you know, to battle the big guys, you know, the Selkirks and Paddle Techs. You know, Paddle Tech just, you know, merged with 35 Capital, and certain groups getting together because the paddles are paddles, right? But the thing is, it's the marketing is going to get them into the hands of either the pros playing with them or getting them out to the marketplace. You have the best paddle in the world, but if you can't spend any money on marketing, nobody but your, you know, your local family is going to know about it. And that's some of those things we're going to talk a lot about, advertising and marketing. Some of the we got a marketing session. It's going to be very good just to talk about how people are marketing their products, whether it's a franchise, indoor facility. We got three of them coming up here in our area, which is amazing too. A Boca Paddle Club is being built. Patch Reef Park's putting 18 covered courts in where I do my tournament. So it's, you know, it's great for the sport. We, you know, everybody always asks me, says, how are these companies going to survive? I said, who's going to, he said, we play in Florida, you know, I don't want to pay 30, 40, 100 bucks a month to go play pickleball when it's beautiful weather. Now, when it's raining, it's a different story. But, you know, when it gets 105 degrees in the heat, you know, you may want to play indoors a little bit. But we're going to tackle a lot of those areas and hopefully get some good dialogue. And one thing we found in Vegas, we had a lot of Q&A. I'm going to try to, you know, allow the speakers to have a little bit more time for Q&A because that's what it's all about. I mean, I want people to be able to ask questions. And, you know, some people stir the pot a little bit and they get tons of people who want to ask questions within 5 minutes of their talk, you know. But so, but we'll, you know, we'll monitor that. And it's, but yeah, I really want to make sure that we come across with information, also some entertainment, but also at the end of the day, people walk away and said, that was the best conference I went to, or I made so many contacts, or now I, you know, whether it's future sponsors, you know, relationships there, whether it's future investors. That's what I want to focus on. I mean, the expo will have its, you know, the spectators and the players, the tournaments going on and the people buying and shopping and so forth. But, you know, upstairs in the ballroom, that's where we hope to have business to business and make some deals up there.
I want to take a quick moment to tell you about something new in pickleball. We have all been ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Now, here's a way to fix that. Get the Play More Pickleball app. We're trying to get some pickleball in, so you send out a message to the group. A few people like the message, but what does that mean? Will they actually show up? And what kind of players are they? Will you have enough people for doubles? Playmore is the new pickleball app that does the frustrating part for you. It will send smart invitations to play. You can easily see who's RSVP'd, and then you can use the AI matchmaking tool to balance your games. That means no more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. The best part, it's free. Find it in the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com. Playmore is the most stress-free scheduling app in pickleball. Now, let's get back to the show. You know, something that I've been looking forward to getting you on the show to talk about is you've got a history with CBS Sports Network. You've got a lot of actual media background. The discussion that comes up in pickleball very often is it a spectator sport or is it a participation sport or can it be both? What are your thoughts about where we're at on the viewership and spectators following pickleball?
That's a key question that Ray is going to be working with, and I'll be involved with him on that session because, you know, my whole background is media. So I've done radio, TV shows and that for a long time, and I still cover tennis. And I see a big disconnect between the spectators and people who want to play pickleball and the people who want to watch pickleball. And I see it just in my own backyard. It's, you know, guys I play with all the time and come in there, and most of them, they'll watch a little bit. Oh, did you watch that match or see that match? I think a couple things have to be done, and I've talked to Ray about this with CBS Sports. You know, we do a magazine show, so we cover the highlights. It's not a highlight show, but more of a magazine format. So we just talk about the ins and the outs, and I didn't want to do a highlight show. The game is too fast for TV. The points are too fast for TV. There's no time for the announcers to talk. I've done play-by-play a long time, and there's no time for replays. You try to do a replay, you miss the next point, the points. So tennis has 30 seconds in between points. They tell off, announcers talk about, they show a replay, and they keep going. So something, you know, to get the spectators more interested, and you can have great players, but they're still not the household names even 5 years later in pickleball. I mean, you got Annalee Waters, you have Ben Johns, you got the young comers coming up. But I think Agassi made a big dent at the U.S. Open because he's a household name in tennis. You know, somebody from tennis comes in and people recognize them from another sport. You know, Drew Brees comes in, or Yvonne Lendl played in our tournament. He had more people watching his tournament playing in a 60-plus first-round event than we're watching our finals, because it's a name recognition, and it's, you know, whether it's a former celebrity or a Jack Sock coming in, somebody like that, that's going to help the TV momentum and the eyeballs. I think it helped at the U.S. Open. I mean, people came out for Agassi. It was unbelievable. They were hoping that, you know, he would have played more matches, but he performed well. And you see the pickleball slams and some of the exhibitions with the top names, and they're drawing big numbers, you know. And one of our panelists, Ben Shapiro from the Celebrity Pickleball Smash, he did one in San Francisco with all celebrities and pickleball pros. And he's getting ready to do another one. I think it's going to be a PickleCon, or it's going to be in Dallas, his next event. So he's going the celebrity route. I think for the TV, and that's, Ray struggles with that all the time with CBS Sports. You know, we've had our show on CBS Sports, a lot of play-by-play events on CBS Sports, APPs doing CBS, ESPN, you know, I mean, pickleball, you know, channel came in via tennis channel. And that's helped the sport a lot, I think, as far as the growth of the sport. But they're not getting big numbers. I mean, they're just not getting big numbers. Like, that's what advertisers want to look at, bottom line numbers. And, you know, to get these big names now, PPA's done a better job on the TV side, getting some, you know, more better numbers and bigger sponsors than APP has, you know, on the pro level. I don't see a lot of, I mean, US Open is a rarity, but as far as local tournaments, like even my Boca Masters, I do live streaming. You know, I had it on CBS Sports the first year. But it's got a lot of work to do on that end of it. I just think that's one of the big issues right now. And I think it has to do with the coverage. I think the coverage is getting better with the kitchen cams, or maybe put some smaller cameras on the net. I mean, they got to come up with more exciting way, because the points are just too fast for people to even digest the sport. And I don't know whether you can slow it down any, but there's got to be some built-in timeouts, and there's got to be some ways for the announcers to talk about the players, even to be able to, you know, talk about the backgrounds of the players during a pickleball broadcast. You can't hardly, you know, get a couple words in about anything but the points, because they're going so fast. That's one of
the things that you're mentioning there. I've heard it talked about quite a bit, is the fact that we have not yet in our sport done enough personality development to the players. Those of us that live in the inner swirl, we hear these amazingly interesting stories about both young players, but also some of the not so young players. You know, you get a player that was a professional athlete in another sport for 10 years, they come into this sport, they've really got some life history behind them. Do you think that the development of personalities in pickleball is something that has to be expanded or developed, or is that not that important?
No, I think it's very important. I think you hit on it. Danny Werfel plays in our MPL league, for instance, and he immediately brought a buzz because, oh, you know, playing against Danny Werfel or playing with Danny Werfel. Sure. Danny Werfel's just there, and he's a recognizable sports figure, a Heisman Trophy winner, an NFL football player from another sport. Like you said, Yvonne Lendl comes in, Jack Sock, Andre Agassi. And there's more and more of those types of people. There's a lot of NFL players playing now. Not taking it as serious as some of these other guys, but maybe it might be their second careers coming in. But they already have a history and a personality. We have to develop the personalities with the pickleball players. You know, they're doing a pretty good job. Annalee Waters, obviously, is the key, because she's probably the most recognizable. Ben Johns. I mean, but a lot of people don't know the background. Ben Johns just moved down the street here in Boca. He bought a place here in Boca, not far from us, to be able to train with all the top players that are in our area, which we have a pretty hotbed. You know, Annalise here, Gabe Tardio's here, the Johnson family's here, Ignatowicz, Alshon. I mean, Florida's become a pretty big hotbed of players, and they can all practice with each other. That's mm-hmm. how Hurricane Tyra Black started practicing with Paris Todd and the Johnsons. And, you know, and they've elevated their games to another level because they have that competition. If you're out in Utah, or you're in the middle of the country, and you might have one or two pros in your area, it's going to be hard for them to find games to even practice with somebody to compete. But the personalities, I think, like Paris Todd, some of these people have great stories off the court that we have to get out there. And I don't think we do it enough. You know, we try to do it with our show, but that's just one show. On the broadcast, there's got to be more features in the broadcast about these players and what, you know, what they are, who they are as human beings. You know, they might be doing fundraisers or, you know, tied in with a charity, or they all have a great pickleball story. That's one thing. I have a segment, you know, what's your story about, you know, about pickleball? You know, why do you love pickleball? Where'd you come from? One guy was a scratch golfer. Yeah, you know, I gave away golf clubs. I'm playing pickleball now. But those are just great, you know, great stories of how people got into this sport.
You know, one of the things I've got in my notes here, a question that I look forward to asking you, is I hear a lot of conversation and a lot of discussion about the speed of the game. Paddles have factored into that. But one of the things that I've wondered about is I don't see a lot of the broadcasters covering what the sophistication of the game is. People see dinking and they think, oh, well, these people are just bumping that ball back and forth. And it isn't until you've attended an event where you see courtside how tiny those margins of error is and why they're strategically doing that. Do you think that I'm onto something there? Is that a legitimate observation, or is that just something that the consumer, the average viewer, wouldn't care about?
No, I think they care about it, but we go back to the problem. There's not enough time to talk about those things.
I see.
You're talking about, if you see a dinking going on, you know, you might see 50 dinks or something. They say, well, I'm a banger. I'm banking two or three times, and that's it. I said, why are they dinking so long? You know, but to be able to talk about the strategy, I think, you know, some of the announcers, I mean, some of them like Dave Fleming, some of the pickleball pros that play the game. Now you get some other announcers that are broadcasters come in just to do the event. They don't even know the nuances of the game, and some of them don't
exactly.
even play. You know, I think that's something that, you know, when the networks, they want their own talent, but then the talent comes in. I remember we brought in, we'll mention names, a person from the CBS to work the broadcast with us, and didn't even know the nuances of the game, but they wanted him to be the face of the broadcast, which is
sure.
cool. But then, you know, so we had to bring analysts in, and we had Melissa McCurley and myself and some other people, you know, that know the game. Because if you don't play the game and you don't follow the nuances of the game, you know, why are they dinging so much? Why are they speeding up here? You know, what's the strategy of a lob? You know, what's the strategy? You know, why are they, you know, but, you know, these pros are, you know, when you work with these pros, like a Merchant Morario, the guy's a technician. He studies video. I mean, he can tell you in a minute when people are warming up, okay, you go to that dink to the backhand all day long. That's their weakness. Find a weakness in the player and just stay on it and follow the game plan. That's his whole thing. Follow the plan. Don't deviate and start doing your own thing. And, you know, the plan is focus on that weakness. Find out what the weakness is of the other player and just focus on it and drill on it, because that's how you're going to win your points, which is great. I mean, I learn stuff every day from these pros. They're just amazing. I mean, it's their livelihood. I mean, I just play for fun. But these guys are making a living. And they study it, and they put the time in. They drill like crazy. Now, how many rec players you know that even go out and drill? They probably never. Yeah, most of the guys I play don't even drill. You know, never drilled in their life. They just go out and play.
You know, it is, and on this show where I talk to people about the sport from the business side of things, but really also the future of the game of pickleball and where it's going. Give me your sense of what you think we're going to see in the sport of pickleball that's going to be of interest in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, I think the big thing is you touched on earlier is the international side. We're seeing people come in from India and China and these other countries, Australia, playing in our leagues and saying, you know, Guangdong, guys from Vietnam, guys are coming in saying, hey, we see an opportunity here. And they're practicing, they're drilling. I think the international side, I think it's going to grow these tournaments overseas. are going to start offering some big prize monies, and they're going to get some of the Americans to say, hey, I'm going to go over to, you know, play in Australia or play in India in the tournament. That I think that's the biggest growth that's coming up. And we're talking about it. Once it hits the Olympics, you know, I think that's going to change. That's going to be a game changer, obviously. But there's a lot of work got to be done with these other countries, because most of the countries we talk about, I go down to Colombia, my wife's Colombian, and, you know, I can't find a pickleball court. They get a couple courts taped, and they got a Colombian association, but it's, yeah, we're getting there, but the big resorts, none of them even have pickleball. I said, so I'd say that some of these countries are 2-3 years behind. Others are moving at a rapid pace, like India and China. And I think it's just like some of the bigger companies are jumping in now. I mean, how long did it take, you know, Nike to start realizing, I think we should start getting into pickleball, or even Adidas now, you know, and Wilson. I mean, all these tennis companies I dealt with for years in tennis, they said, why aren't you guys at pickleball? We're testing. We're seeing where it's going. And they're either going to come in and buy up what they want to buy up, or they're going to come in and start more. You know, once they get in, they're going to be all in. And you're seeing it. They're coming in big ways at the expos. They're marketing. They're coming out with, you know, paddles, shoes, clothes. So I think the early myth, it's a fad, or it's just going to die off like racquetball or another sport. I think the sport is, you know, it's going to compete with paddle. I mean, paddle's another big competition out there that's growing internationally, as you know, much more than pickleball. So is pickleball going to compete with on the paddle stage over there? And is paddle going to come in and start taking away some of the market share of pickleball here in our area? So I think future's going to be interesting. I think more tennis players are going to be getting into pickleball faster. I think more celebrities and more names. And I think bigger companies are going to start getting in, maybe investing and maybe growing the sport where it's, you know, it's a staple on TV, and, you know, maybe get our own meme one day, you know, with, and they're still trying to get a meme for pickleball, you know, with the, on Apple, but, you know, I think there's still a Wild West. I think it's still a Wild West, but I think we're seeing a lot of things shake out. I think we're seeing a lot of companies probably shaking out on figuring out, if I'm going to be in this business, it's going to take a lot more money than I need. I may need to partner with somebody. And we're seeing some partnerships being developed now and some conglomerates built up where the companies are buying 4 or 5 companies. So I think that's where the future is going to be. And I'm just along for the ride, man. I just, you know, just keep enjoying it here. Before I was semi-retired on the golf course. Now I'm back doing, you know, more than I was doing before.
Yeah, very nice. I'll tell you, if you're watching this, if you've got a comment on either a person that you know of in the sport that I should be speaking with, if you've got an idea that needs to be explored, please reach out to me through the comment section. With that, I want to say, Carl, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was great. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the end of June in Palm Beach. And I'll see you on the pickleball court, man.
Sounds like a great time. We'll be playing indoors. It'll be nice and cool. So we'll see you in June, the 27th to the 29th in Palm Beach, beautiful Florida. So we'll see you there.
Thanks, Carl.
Appreciate it.